Sermons today are from the Old Testament, this morning and also tonight. This morning's sermon is based on Ezekiel chapter 37. So turn to your pew Bibles to our scripture reading for this morning, Ezekiel chapter 37, and we'll read the first 14 verses. Ezekiel chapter 37, page 1345 in your pew Bible, 1345. I'll read the passage. I'll say, "This is the word of the Lord," and the congregation responds, saying, "Thanks be to God." Ezekiel chapter 37. "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. And he led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I said, 'O sovereign Lord, you alone know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. And I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. And I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared in them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says: Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, see these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is gone, and we are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says: O my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it, declares the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to his word this morning. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, our text for today begins with these words: "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones." When Ezekiel says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me," what he's saying is that he's having a vision. Six times is that phrase used in the book of Ezekiel, and in each case, it indicates an overwhelming experience of divine revelation. "The hand of the Lord was upon me," says Ezekiel, and what did the Lord show Ezekiel in his vision? Says our text again, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones." Quite a vision, don't you think? Can you imagine being in this thing? Now, I don't know about you, but I've never had a vision before. I suppose it's like a dream, except you are awake. Somehow you are in a different place, and it's all very real. Ezekiel is alone with God in a valley of bones. Our text says it is a valley. Can also be translated a plain. What we know is that Ezekiel is in a very big, broad area, miles and miles wide and miles long, and it's surrounded by hills. And the whole valley is covered with bones, human bones. Says our text, it was full of bones. So this place is eerie. That would be my guess. According to verse 2, the bones are very dry, and so I figured that the sun is beating down. It's hot. It's very dusty in this valley. What does God do with Ezekiel? According to verse 2, he takes Ezekiel back and forth through the plain, through the bones, so that he might feel the weight of all of this death. The bones are not buried, and so probably as he walks along, he can feel and hear the bones kind of crumble and crush as he walks along. They crumble and crush beneath his feet. What probably happened was that a number of years ago, or however long it takes for corpses to decompose, there was a war. This plain was probably the battleground. The bones are from the casualties. No one has survived this battle. Finally, after the long walk, the Lord has a word to speak to Ezekiel. Says the Lord to him, "Son of man, can these bones live?" In any normal situation, everyone would probably reply, no, I don't think so. But Ezekiel is in a vision, and in a vision, I suppose anything can happen. And so Ezekiel says, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Good answer. In verse 4, the Lord says to Ezekiel, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I'll make breath enter you, and you will come to life. And I will attach tendons to you, and make flesh come upon you, and cover you with skin. And I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." Well, Ezekiel was not going to stand around. So what does he do? He does what he is told. He begins to prophesy. He begins to preach to the bones. And hardly does he begin, and something begins to happen immediately. The words hardly get out of his mouth, and the bones begin to move. Yes, the Lord makes Ezekiel's words into words of power. He begins to preach, and he hears this noise. He hears this rattling sound. You know what it is. It's the bones all coming together. You have to picture this. Here is Ezekiel all alone on this plain, and all around for miles are all these bones moving around. They're all banging into each other, rolling over top of each other, finding their proper places. Ball joints find their sockets, and they click into place. Knees and elbows and shoulders and hips. This does not happen just in one place. No, the whole valley is doing this. Bones joining up to make skeletons. And then the next thing you know, flesh begins to appear on the bones. Arteries, blood veins, tendons, they all begin to form. Where they come from, I don't know. They probably just came out of nowhere. Lo and behold, skin soon appears, and what do we have? A dusty valley full of people lying still on the ground. And finally, there's silence. In verse 9, the Lord speaks again. "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the winds, the four winds, O breath, and breathe into the slain that they may live." Congregation, notice this two-step process to this whole ordeal. First, Ezekiel prophesies to the bones, and now he prophesies to the wind. First, God creates or recreates the bodies by his word. Then he makes them come to life by his word. An echo, maybe, of the creation account. First, God makes Adam out of the dust of the ground. And then he breathes into him the breath of life. The text doesn't tell us why there is this two-step process. Either way, Ezekiel now preaches to the wind. And look what happens. The wind comes. See, the wind entered their nostrils and blow right into them. See, their chests begin to rise and fall. They begin to breathe. Look closely, and they're all breathing. One by one, they open their eyes. One by one, they sit up. One by one, they all stand up. Look at the valley. There is Ezekiel in the midst of one vast, living, standing army on the plane. Congregation, what in the world does all of this mean? What is the Lord trying to get across in this vision to Ezekiel? Well, let's start first with the background. Understand, first of all, that Ezekiel is a prophet of the Lord. He prophesies during the time when the nation of Israel is in exile in Babylonian captivity. Maybe you know the story. King after king after king in Israel and Judah are doing evil in the eyes of the Lord. They don't repent. They don't clean up their ways. And so God sends judgment. In 588 BC, the Babylonians come and they lay siege on Jerusalem. And after some 2 years of this, they finally break through and they completely dismantle everything. Jerusalem's walls are destroyed, the palace is destroyed, the temple is destroyed, and the people, they're all taken away. Many of them are killed. Israel as a nation is technically dead. People of power in Judah, the nobility, the leadership, etc., they're all transported to Babylon many, many, many miles away. It was like God had given up on his people. It was like God had given up on his promises to them. All the promises given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and David, they're all gone up in smoke. Israel was as good as dead. And they were not just like dead corpses, no, they were like dry, dusty, crumbled bones lying on a desert floor. But it is in Ezekiel's vision that the Lord brings some new living hope for the people in exile. God shows Ezekiel the bones. The Lord calls Ezekiel to prophesy and to preach to the bones. Ezekiel does so, and the bones are brought to life. They're made into a vast living army. The army stands before Ezekiel, and then the Lord says in verse 11, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up, and our hope is gone. We are cut off.' Therefore, prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open up your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it, declares the Lord.'" Congregation, what became of all of this? Well, it happened that Ezekiel, he went to the dry bones people of Israel in exile, and he preached to them. He said, "People, I had a vision. You think that you're a bunch of dry bones, but God has spoken, and he will raise you up." Ezekiel, he preached this message, and before the words even left his mouth, the bones began to move. Things began to change. Cyrus the Great of Persia came to power. In 538 BC, he made this remarkable decree. He ordered that the people of Israel in exile go back to their homeland. And so the people do that. And they rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. They rebuild the temple. The priesthood is restored. The sacrifices take place again. The people of Israel, they live all over the land. In short, they are resurrected. The bones have come to life. God blesses them. He keeps his promises to them, even giving them the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Of course, all of these blessings, they finally come to fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Everything starts with him. You know, it's interesting. It's simply amazing how our passage here in Ezekiel 37, it actually points to Christ. Actually, our picture, our passage is a perfect foreshadow, a perfect picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. In what way, you ask? Well, listen up. We know that when Jesus Christ comes, he comes as the new Israel, right? Jesus is Israel all in one person. He is the new Israel. He is the fulfillment of Israel. It's interesting that even Jesus' life, it neatly patterns the life of Old Testament Israel. As Israel's birth was a miracle, it was a miracle, right? Abram and Sarah gave birth to Isaac in their very old age. That was a miracle. As Israel's birth in the Old Testament was a miracle, so is Jesus' birth a miracle. As Old Testament Israel went into Egypt, so did Jesus go into Egypt after his birth. Matthew talks about that. As Israel went into the wilderness for 40 years, so did Jesus go into the wilderness for 40 days. As Israel went into the Jordan to enter the promised land, so did Christ go down into the Jordan in his baptism to lead us into the promised land. And as Israel died and was virtually buried in exile, so did Christ die and get buried. And as Israel was raised from the dead, so was Christ raised from the dead. Israel's death and resurrection is a picture of Christ's death and resurrection for us. You know, in 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures." Now, we might ask, where does the Scriptures speak of Jesus' death and resurrection? Well, right here. Christ, as the new Israel, he fulfills it all. Our passage points to him. It paints a picture. It paints a picture of Jesus Christ and his life for us. You know, our passage, it paints a picture of Jesus Christ, but you know what it also does? It paints a picture of us and our salvation. When God works his salvation in us, what does he start with? He starts with dry bones. Dry bones. Outside of Christ, we're dead. We're not spiritually like just a little bit sick. It's not like we just had a bad cold. It's not like we still have some spiritual strength inside of us to turn to God. We don't. Outside of him, we're dead. We're like a bunch of bones, dry and crusty. And so when God saves, he brings the word to dry dead bones to resurrect for himself the church of the living God. That's what this passage is ultimately all about. The resurrection of the church of the living God. Bones coming to life in Christ. And how fascinating this all turns out in the end. You know, our passage speaks of Israel's death and resurrection. It speaks of Christ's death and resurrection. It speaks of our death and resurrection. But you know, it also speaks of the very end. On the very last day, what's going to happen? Christ, he's going to return, and the dead will literally be raised. The graves will literally open up. Christ's church will become one big, massive, living army to the praise and glory of our God forever. Our passage in Ezekiel will become a virtual, literal reality. It all follows the pattern. Israel is dead and raised. Christ is dead and raised. We in him are dead and raised. In the end, we who are asleep in him will be resurrected for his praise and for his glory. Congregation, allow me to bring this home to our lives today. Sometimes, as the church of our Lord and Jesus Christ, we as the church, sometimes we feel down. Sometimes we also feel weak and helpless. We feel dead. Sometimes we feel dusty. We ask ourselves, why is the church in our culture today so divided? Why does sin still plague our churches and our individual lives? Why can't we make a better impact on our culture and in our society? Sometimes in our more pessimistic moments, we wonder if the church is but a valley of dry bones. It feels that way sometimes. But lo, hear the good news. Our God, He comes to us today through His living word, and He says, people of God, do you think that's all the church is? It's a valley of dry bones? Well, keep your eyes on what the Lord God is doing today. Today, in this place of worship, the word is proclaimed. And that's not only in this place. It's in many places. Not only in this province, but in all the other provinces. Not only in this country, but many other countries. Not only in this language, but in many other languages. The word is going out. Notice how the word of God works. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but in Ezekiel 37, before the prophet is even done prophesying, the word is already sent out to do its work. Ezekiel has not even finished closing his mouth, and the word is already going forth and it's doing its task. And the same is happening today. Not only here, but in many places around the world. So, brothers and sisters, we must learn then to see things with proper spiritual eyes. Today, as the word of the Lord is proclaimed, we must learn to open up our ears and listen for the noise, to listen for the rattling. We must open up our eyes to see how the bones are moving. They are coming together. They are kind of clicking into place. And the day is coming. Soon it will be that Jesus will return again. And what will happen then? He will give the last word. He will give the second prophecy, so to speak. And then the church will be fully, fully resurrected. We will stand up. We will all be a living army for the Lord. A victorious, a vibrant army raised to the glory and honor of our God. On that day, on the day of Christ's return, then will the picture so carefully crafted in Ezekiel 37 become a virtual, literal reality. All the saints who have died before us, who appear to be all but bones and dust and ashes now, they will come to life. And we will be one resurrected army before the Lord Jesus Christ to praise His name forever. This is our hope. This is the good news. This is God's promise for His people, and He is faithful. May we be encouraged by the picture. He was ears to hear. Let him hear. Be encouraged. Understand well what the Lord can do with dry bones. May we also say, the Lord, He is God. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for this picture from Ezekiel 37. We thank You, Father, for the power of the word of the Lord. The word was able also to go forth among the people of Israel so long ago to resurrect these people dead and crusty and dry. And Father, sometimes we feel that way as well as the church of Jesus Christ, especially in our culture. But we pray, Father, that we may understand that the word, it continues to go forth. And so the bones are rattling. Things are falling into place. And we're waiting for the day in which Jesus will come back again to give that final word. And then we will see a literal reality of Ezekiel 37. So, Father, we pray that Your kingdom will come, that Your will might be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, encourage us today, especially in our culture where we sometimes don't see and hear the rattling. We pray, Father, that we may have the eyes to see and the ears to hear what you are doing. Hear our prayer, encourage us, bless your church, for we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The resurrection of the Church of Jesus Christ and of Israel in the Old Testament and the Church in the New is all because of Jesus Christ. He died and He rose. Low in the grave Christ lay. We're going to sing this resurrection hymn, this Easter hymn, hymn number 396. Let's stand together as we sing.